Well, brothers and sisters, we are in an era of gospel centrality that we should not take for granted. There are more gospel-centered books, gospel-centered seminaries, gospel-centered ministries, gospel-centered mega conferences like For the Church and the Gospel Coalition, and on and on and on. But I still think we have a great problem when it comes to a lot of people still aren't preaching the gospel, even though they think they are. And if you aren't careful in your church plant or in your church now, you won't preach and teach the gospel either. Now, I know people are preaching about Jesus. They're telling you about salvation. They're telling you that grace through faith is how you are saved and how parenting and forgiveness all comes back to the gospel. That's true. We've learned to talk about Jesus and his work as the motivation for holiness. We've recovered the truth that the gospel is the nuclear core of the Christian life, and we've recovered again that the Bible is all about Jesus. But that's not the gospel. My great concern for our generation is that while we've all grown in preaching and teaching gospel-centeredly, we're actually forgetting the gospel. The irony here is that you can lose the gospel in all of our attempts to be gospel-centered. So if I asked you to write down a definition of the gospel, that would be enough for an unbeliever to get born again and also for a believer to be encouraged. What would you write down? I've done this a lot with our membership classes at Redeemer Church down in Houston, done this with prospective church planters and the Houston Church Planning Network down there, and I can tell you how these things go. After people write down their answers, I tell them, hey, I want you to share, and I want you to know there are wrong answers. This is not one of those everybody gets a blue ribbon. There are wrong answers for this thing. And people share, and I hear things like this. The gospel is God's love story to save mankind from sin. It's the good news of Jesus dying in our place for our sins. Period. True, but that's not the gospel. And I've heard enough sermons in Acts 29 assessment conferences where brothers are getting up and saying great things, not saying heretical things. They're even saying gospel-y things. But they aren't preaching the gospel, even though they think they are. They talk about grace, forgiveness, Jesus being fixed to a criminal's cross like an insect. And so the second half of Easter weekend, I really do believe, is the most neglected truth in sermons today. And without the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, there is no gospel, and there is no Christianity, there is no Acts 29. So here's what we need to know. There is a difference between preaching gospel-centeredly and preaching the gospel. You need both. So preach the full gospel. And Paul tells us what the gospel is, simplest definition, in 1 Corinthians 15. You can see it here on the screen. This is the supernatural reality of the gospel message that we preach, that we teach, that we plant, that we counsel, that we evangelize and encourage with. And Paul says, for I passed on to you as most important. So this is the most important truth in the universe. We must get it right and never assume it. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus died and rose again. This is the gospel message. So let's not only talk about that Jesus took our sins on that rough-hewn, reused Roman cross. And as blood fell on Jerusalem soil, drop after drop after drop, that sins were paid. Amen. He gave up his life, and the verse tells us that he was pronounced stone-cold dead by a professional Roman executioner. But then on Easter morning, Jesus' brainstem turned back on, and he won the victory, and it's ours by faith in him alone. This is what we proclaim. This is the gospel. It's our old-time message that is always relevant. This is what we preach, or is it? Since we would all agree that the resurrection is a non-ignorable part of the gospel, ask yourselves, did I preach the gospel this past Sunday? Was it detectable in my sermon that Jesus is not a corpse? Did I explicitly mention and say and proclaim that there is a risen king? Do I do that every week? Do I do that every sermon? Are we preaching the gospel if Christ hasn't been raised in our sermons? My answer is no. If there's no cross, we would agree, no gospel. If we say there's no resurrection, no vacated tomb, would we agree there's no gospel? Yes. So if there's no explicit resurrection, or just even talking as though Jesus is alive, then it's really not a Christian sermon. Because what does Paul continue in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14? Listen to what he says on screen. If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. This is what this verse teaches me and convicts me, is that sermons on Easter Sunday and sermons in the middle of July should sound the same. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Believe and be saved, and let's follow him together. This is what we preach. Hear me, brothers. The fact that Jesus isn't a pile of bone dust somewhere in Jerusalem is why you are here. It's why Acts 29 exists. It's why all of our churches exist. It's why you even have friendships in this room. I would not know anyone in this room if Jesus were still dead. In fact, we only talk about the cross of Christ because of the empty tomb of Christ. Rome crucified thousands of people, and we don't talk about any of them. But we talk about one because only one of them had a father that took him out of the ground and then put him on a throne. This is our message. Don't just let it be something you see on Easter. And maybe if you get really good at preaching on Christmas Eve. But let it be every Sunday. The four Gospels exist because of a stack of folded up grave clothes. The New Testament all exists in the ecosystem of the empty tomb. And it's on the power of an uncorpsed Christ. The message of the church from the first century to 17 trillion years from today will be the same. Long live the King. And C.S. Lewis captures this for us when he says, to preach Christianity, he's talking about the early church, meant primarily to preach the resurrection. The resurrection is the central theme in every Christian sermon reported in the Acts. The resurrection and its consequences were the gospel or good news which the Christians brought. And if you survey Acts, all you see is people proclaiming the risen Christ and all of its effects. And when the apostles are selecting the replacement for Judas, what was one of their qualifications? Acts 1:22. It is necessary that one become a witness with us of what? His resurrection. The apostles realize you got to connect this to Acts 1:8. What does Jesus say? You will be my witnesses. The apostles heard that and said, he wants us to be witnesses of his resurrection, of his no longer deadness. Acts is the unfolding of all of this. The rest of the New Testament, Paul's letters, Peter, James, John, Hebrews, the book of Revelation, it is the complete announcement and application of the risen Christ. So let's preach in the same twang and tradition of our New Testament writers. I'm not saying you need to be preaching sermons that are only about the resurrection or sermons that are theologies of the resurrection. I'm just saying we should preach the whole gospel, that Jesus died and that Jesus is alive in every sermon. I challenge you to go and read the New Testament this month and see how often the resurrection is mentioned. Maybe just start with Paul's letters. In almost all of Paul's letters, except Philemon, there are explicit announcements of the resurrection. Talk in your sermons like it's clear you believe that Jesus is alive and that he's been given a name above every name, and that one day the clouds will be peeled back like a scroll, and that he is the Son of Man who has authority to judge the living and the dead, and that because of one man's cross and one man's vacated grave, that now there is hope for the nations and for the porn addicted in our churches, for the bored soccer mom, and for the teenager who's contemplating suicide. There is hope in the empty tomb, because there's a living Lord who says, bring all your burdens to me, because I went to Golgotha and I won for you. So preach gospel-centeredly, yes and amen, but preach the gospel too. And I leave you with the words of one church planter to another, Paul to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead.